91X News.
It's 13 degrees and mostly cloudy at 4 o'clock from the QNET Newsroom. Good afternoon, I'm Graham Whitaker. Former Quebec premier, longtime Parti Québécois stalwart Bernard Landry died today at the age of 81. Before becoming premier in 2001, he held many prominent government posts with the Parti Québécois, including deputy premier and finance minister. Landry replaced Lucien Bouchard as premier after Bouchard resigned, and he was defeated in the April 2003 elections by the Liberals under the leadership of Jean Charest. The news of his death was confirmed by the Canadian press by his personal assistant, Odette Morin. Federal cabinet ministers say that they will be watching closely as American voters cast their ballots in today's U.S. midterm elections. Transport Minister Mark Garneau says the implications of the election outcome are important to Canada.
We, as the Government of Canada, work with the United States regardless of what the composition of the Senate or the House of Representatives is, but I think this is an historical and very, very important midterm elections, and I think there can be important ramifications with either scenario.
Democratic leaders say they believe high voter turnouts will help them win the U.S. House of Representatives. Here's Sagar Magani with more.
They need to pick up two dozen seats to win the House and are counting on high turnout in suburban districts. Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee Chair Ben Ray Lujan says he's encouraged so far.
We're seeing long lines all across America.
In the Deep South and Mid-Atlantic, voters have been waiting in heavy rain and strong winds. The first hours of voting in some precincts were marred by long lines and malfunctioning machines. Some voters in Georgia reported waiting up to 3 hours. Sagar Magani, Washington.
Ontario Premier Doug Ford's office is refusing to directly address media reports about an allegation of inappropriate sexual behavior against a prominent cabinet minister who resigned last week. Published reports say Jim Wilson abruptly left cabinet and the Progressive Conservative Caucus on Friday after an allegation of sexually inappropriate behavior was raised against him. Ford's office has not confirmed or denied the allegation, saying only that Wilson left to seek treatment for addiction issues. However, Social Services Minister Lisa McLeod has indicated that a third-party investigation involving Wilson is underway. Wilson has not responded to requests to comment. Former Governor General David Johnson says he'll present the public with a report on expenses he's incurred since he left Rideau Hall a year ago. Johnson, who was Governor General from October 2010 until October 2017, today defended taxpayer money being spent by former Vice Regals after they've left office.
The Office of the Governor General is an important democratic institution, and there are responsibilities that we continue after.
The man accused of sending pipe bombs to prominent critics of U.S. President Donald Trump has been ordered held without bail. Julie Walker has more.
Cesar Sayoc hugged his lawyer after the hearing in which the assistant U.S. attorney called him a serious risk of danger to the public and a flight risk. Prosecutors released a letter outlining more evidence against Sayoc, including DNA linking him to 10 of the explosive devices and fingerprints on 2 of them. Other evidence includes online searches he did for the addresses of Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, and others. Prosecutors say Sayoc sent more than a dozen mail bombs to Democrats, Trump critics, and CNN. None of the devices exploded. He faces nearly 50 years in prison. Julie Walker, New York.
A NASA spacecraft has made its first close approach to the sun. Warren Levinson has more.
Traveling at 213,000 miles an hour relative to the sun, the Parker Solar Probe passed within 15 million miles Monday night, close enough to penetrate the outer solar atmosphere, closer than any other man-made object. NASA launched the spacecraft 2.5 months ago. NASA researcher Nicola Fox says scientists can't wait to see the data the probe collected, which is to start coming in as soon as it's far enough away from the sun to avoid radio interference. The spacecraft is to make 23 even closer approaches over the next 7 years, assuming it survives the harsh solar environment. The next close pass comes in April. I'm Warren Levinson.
The Hastings and Prince Edward Regiment Museum partnered with the Hastings County Historical Society to present a special exhibit showcasing the citizens of Hastings County who served in World War I. Captain Neil Burrell, who helped organize the exhibit, said that he was hoping the exhibit would help families make connections to their past.
We have street names here in Belleville, for instance, that are named after soldiers that went off in World War I. And it, to me, it's kind of a cool thing to see those names, read these stories here in the armories today, and make that connection.
The exhibit will be open on Remembrance Day from 12 p.m. to 4 p.m. at the Belleville Armories on 187 Pinnacle Street. Yesterday, Loyalist opened the school's first ever Pride Week with a raising of a rainbow flag as a symbol of its support of the LGBTQ plus community. Anne-Marie Vaughn says it's important the school shows its inclusivity and diversity.
I think it's important that we show leadership and support, both within Loyalist College, but within the community itself. And the rainbow crosswalks, which are the first, as I understand it, even in the region, are a real testament to the fact that Loyalist College and its students are real leaders in our community around us.
Belleville City Council-elect will be receiving orientation throughout this month. It started this morning and is a change from previous orientations as it is being done before the councillors are sworn in and over a longer period of time. Belleville's Chief Administration Officer, Rick Kester, was optimistic about the extra time.
We hope it's better, and it gives them a little bit longer time, I think, to really take it, to listen, to look at the material, to tour the properties, and then ask us questions. So there's a lot more time that they can ask questions, get themselves very comfortable with the information they're given.
There will be two more orientation sessions this week, and then three more later this month before the new council is sworn in December 1st. That's QNET News on 91X. It's 4:06. Sports is next after this.
The time has come to showcase the Bay of Quinte region as a destination for innovation and a national leader in rural entrepreneurial growth. Quinnovation presents the Canadian Rural Innovation Summit November 19th and 20th. Join us and our platinum-sponsored Nesta Technologies as we get the conversation started between entrepreneurs and leaders about rural change and how to grow innovation in our region. The Canadian Rural Innovation Summit, November 19th and 20th in Belleville. Together, we can grow our region. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit ruralinnovation.ca now.
In sports today, Slovakia will try to slow down the hard-hitting Canadian power game when the two teams meet in the Davis Cup qualifying round tie next year. The Slovakian Tennis Federation said that the tie will be played on an indoor red clay court at the 4,000-seat NTC Arena in Bratislava on February 1st and 2nd. Tennis Canada said player nominations will be announced at a later date. Miloš Raonic of Thornhill and Denis Shapovalov of Richmond Hill anchored the Canadian side to a 3-1 World Group playoff win over the Netherlands last September on a fast indoor hard court in Toronto. Vancouver's Vasek Pospisil, Toronto's Daniel Nestor, and Montreal's Felix Auger-Aliassime were also on the team. Canada holds the number 17th position in the Davis Cup rankings, while Slovakia sits at 29th. Qualifier ties will consist of four singles rubbers and one doubles rubber. The Chicago Blackhawks fired coach Joel Quenneville today, ending a widely successful run that produced three Stanley Cup titles and returned the franchise to the top of the NHL. The trouble for Quenneville began when Chicago was swept by Nashville in the first round of the 2017 playoffs after the Blackhawks finished with the best record in the Western Conference. Then they missed the playoffs entirely last season for the first time in a decade. With the Blackhawks struggling again, general manager Stan Bowman had enough. He dismissed Quenneville, and Jeremy Colton was hired to replace him as the 38th head coach in franchise history. The fallout from an Ottawa Senators Uber video is the talk of the NHL today. Following the release of a video showing seven players ripping on assistant coach and their team's penalty killing while in an Uber has sparked a debate regarding player privacy. Toronto Maple Leafs defenseman Travis Dermott says players have to be aware of their surroundings at all times in an era where every phone is a camera.
There's always eyes on you, and if you're going to talk like that, probably should make sure you're pretty safe about it. But, tough bounce for them. They're going to have to deal with that. But, it could happen to anyone, really.
At the Maple Leafs morning skate, coach Mike Babcock told players that nothing is off the record in their lives. Tonight at 7, the Toronto Maple Leafs face off against Vegas on home ice, and the Canadiens are in New York to take on the Rangers. The New Jersey Devils are also in Ottawa tonight to take on the Senators at 7:30. That's all for sports. Send us your team or league scores by email at qnetnewsdesk@gmail.com. Forecast for Belleville tonight: partly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers this evening and after midnight with a low of 8. Tomorrow we'll see a mix of sun and cloud with more cloud cover coming in the afternoon with a 30% chance of rain and a low of 4. At 4:09, it's 13 degrees. QNET News on the air at 91X and online at qnetnews.ca. Remember to follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook. I'm Graham Whitaker, QNET News, news at 91X at next at 5.